maths, numbers. Even without fish oils, some girls and boys do it brilliantly and compete internationally. This week and for the next two science shows, we present The Diary of a Maths Olympiad Adjudicator, Jeff Smith, who lives in Bath.
The International Mathematical Olympiad, or IMO, is the annual world championship of secondary school mathematics. It has been running since 1959, and the host city changes from year to year. National teams of six secondary school students sit two papers on consecutive days. Each paper consists of three problems, and each of the six problems is worth 7 marks. A perfect score for a student is therefore 42 out of 42. The students are then ranked according to their personal scores, and the top half receive medals. These are distributed in the ratios gold to silver to bronze is 1 to 2 to 3. About 100 nations participate, so this means that there are 40 or 50 gold medals available. After the Chinese, the Russians, the Americans and South Korea have gobbled up their usual giant portions, that leaves about 20 gold medals for the rest of us. Officially, like the sporting Olympic Games, the competition is between people, not nations. However, it is irresistible to compare the total marks of countries. Rivalry builds up over time. Some nations take this competition extremely seriously, with special schools for potential IMO mathematicians, which concentrate the strongest students from the age of 11. Britain, and come to that Australia, don't do this, of course, and it is very hard to beat those Eastern European and Asian countries which do. The UK uses Germany as a target. Germany usually win. Their population is 80 million compared with 60 million for Britain, and most importantly, teenagers spend one more year at school in Germany than in the UK, so Germany has a much larger pool from which to draw. This makes it all the more satisfying when we finish above them, as we do occasionally. There is, unsurprisingly, also rivalry between Britain and Australia, with the Brits having three times the Aussie population. The UK wins that tussle about two-thirds of the time. One of the advantages of having the competition move around the world is that no two events are alike. In 2007, the IMO was in Vietnam. Somehow I found myself in a Hanoi bar with Peter Taylor, the boss of the Australian Mathematics Trust. Peter is a proper Australian, having played Aussie rules football for McLaren Vale in South Australia. His bearing and features carry the record of his sporting career. He once told me that he set out to become a first-knock ruckman because at 16 he was a 10-stone weakling. In England, a 10-stone teenager is probably a slob or a bodybuilder. Peter then went on to enjoy a successful career as an amateur squash player, where he was able to refine some of the techniques he had learned in Australian rules football. He sometimes had difficulty finding opponents, of course. After several Vietnamese beers, Peter suggested that we might organise an annual maths competition between the UK and Australia. We warmed to his theme, and soon the contest had a name, the Mathematics Ashes. Our teams will meet before each IMO and have a private match to decide the fate of an urn. We agreed that the scripts of the 2008 losing team will be burned and sealed in the trophy for all time. During the following year, Peter became a regular visitor to many of the classier funeral parlours in Canberra, sending me pictures of urns while investigating Australian quarantine regulations regarding the carriage of ash. My brother is married to an Australian, and he understands their ways. He warned me that I had been completely irresponsible, and that fragments of Australian genetic code would be activated by this competition, and the UK would face the familiar regular drubbings. On each IMO paper, the first question is set at a level where a team member from a country with a good training system and a large population will usually solve it. The second question is much harder, and the third is so eye-wateringly difficult that only the best students in the world stand a chance of solving it. This year, in 2008, the International Mathematical Olympiad was held in Madrid, and we agreed to meet the Australian team nearby in Lisbon beforehand to decide the Ashes. The teams get on very well, and friendships blossom. We sit exams in St. Julian's School in the morning. In the afternoon, the leaders mark. Then there is a debriefing, followed by dinner in a beach restaurant. The Australian team leader is Angelo Di Pasquale. While Angelo is prepared to go along with this Mathematics Ashes business, he doesn't quite get it. Unlike Peter Taylor, he belongs to the dissident underclass of Australian society who are not interested in sport. they lead a furtive and unacknowledged existence and try not to attract attention to their perverted appetites for conversation, music, and literature. Angelo's lack of commitment to the mathematics ashes extends to accidentally leaving the urn back in Melbourne. We send for it by courier. Angelo has noticed that the Australian media are all over the mathematics ashes story, but he cannot come to terms with the bigger picture. Once mathematics is regarded as a competitive sport rather than an academic subject, there will be no limit to the resources made available to support it in Australia. Leaders have to go to the IMO early to become jurors and to set the IMO paper. Before I leave for Spain, there is time for just one exam. The Australians win. I am traumatised. If the UK team can get hold of their geometry sets, perhaps we can nobble their compasses. With my usual generous spirit, I denounce the UK team as being a worthless bunch of shirkers. We discuss the possibility of using sledging in the exam room. I fly to the IMO in Madrid and leave our students in the care of the other three UK adults. There is the UK deputy, Kerry Fidders, the trainee deputy, Vesna Kadelberg, and the pastoral enforcer, Jackie Lewis. Kerry spends most of her time on horseback and has acquired that gentle but firm touch which also works on teenagers. In Madrid, I wait at the airport as team leaders trickle in from all over the world. The procedure is to wait until you have a taxi load and then send them off to the leaders' site. We drive through the capital and then out into the mountains. I am in with a load of Eastern Europeans, so one of them fakes car sickness so that the rest can have a quick smoke. It turns out that the leaders are billeted in a luxurious hotel in the grounds of La Granja Palace de San Ildefonso in Segovia. It's a bit like the Palace of Versailles. This will do nicely. Next time, I'll tell you about how the jury prepares the examination papers.
Dr. Jeff Smith is a senior lecturer in maths at the University of Bath and chair of the British Maths Olympiad. And he has a new book out on how to do maths effectively.